that's all hinging on Max Verstappen being unhappy at Red Bull and potentially leaving Red Bull. But Oscar going to Red Bull, what's the appeal there?
Imagine Briatore and Christian Horner on the same team.
Welcome back to Away We Go podcast. Welcome back to Away We Go podcast, a Formula One podcast that goes beyond the track limits to talk about travel and lifestyle surrounding the sport. My name's Diane Bortoletto, and today I'm in Margaret River in Western Australia and joined by the lovely Kira Gillen from Formula Live Pulse, who's in Berlin. Welcome back, Kira.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back.
Always great to see you. Now, we are in between races this week, so there's been a lot of kind of chatter in the Formula One world. So I just thought, you know, why don't we just jump on and talk about it?
Yeah, definitely. Lots to talk about. The big things are obviously the rumours around Max and the rumours around Oscar. But seeing as we're both Oscar fans and poor little Oscar hasn't been doing great, let's start with Oscar.
Yeah, a good place to start. So look, the rumours have been pretty thick around that. Mm-hmm. And that's all hinging on Max Verstappen being unhappy at Red Bull and potentially leaving Red Bull. Now, it's known he's got an exit clause in his contract. Mm-hmm. So I don't know exactly what that clause is, but if the performance of the car isn't at a certain level, if he's not able to get certain results, then he's able to get out of his contract with Red Bull. That's my understanding of the clause. We know he's unhappy. Like, he's always, he's he wears his heart on his sleeve, Max. You know, love him or hate him, you've got to admire him for that. You always know what he's thinking. There's rumours that he's been in talks with McLaren, right? So McLaren already have two drivers. You know, they're not going to get rid of the golden child, are they, Lando? So it'll be Oscar who's going to be moved on. But Oscar's apparently not happy at McLaren as well. So those rumours are swirling around. And it's been said that Oscar has requested that he wants to leave the team at the end of this year. But his manager, Mark Webber, has come out and said it's all rumours. Zach Brown has said it's all rumours. Is it still rumours? We've said before, like, where there's smoke, there's fire. You know, like, you can't have this many rumours and there to be no inkling of truth. Like, Zach said they didn't even meet with Max, but I'm pretty sure he was seen walking out of their motorhome. So, like, go figure.
Yeah, I mean, everybody says, and Zach has said it as well, right? If I had the chance to sign Max Verstappen, I would sign him. So, like, I doubt that they've never had a conversation, because the thing at the end of the day, you know, you got to be smart if you're Zach. Like, if there is rumors or inklings or thinking that Oscar might be unhappy, you're going to be without a possible world champion winning driver. So you want to make sure you're getting the best, you know. Zach would be stupid not to be having a conversation, especially if there's inklings. I just don't get what would be in it for Max to move to McLaren. Like, by all accounts, I've heard he's got a really good contract with Red Bull, because hasn't he got this whole thing where he can go and do his other racing? He's got his other team and all of that. Would he get that with McLaren? He also would also be going in and being not second, but like equal to Lando. Whereas Red Bull, he's number one. He's Mr. Uno. There's no second guessing this. It could be a good challenge for him, but I don't know.
See Max being equal number one with someone? No. Weeks, he would be stamping his authority on that team. And then you've got the Jos Verstappen factor, right? So Jos will be coming in. You know, like, there was a clip that did the rounds on social media of Jos Verstappen and Mekies, the Red Bull racing boss, and they're clearly exchanging words. And that was after the British Grand Prix. Yeah, like where Max crashed. Jos and Laurent Mekies were seen exchanging words. Jos Verstappen he's an aggressor. We know that. We know that. It's been well reported, and he would not be at McLaren playing all nice with two number one drivers. I cannot see that happening. I mean, the only thing I can think of, besides JP going to McLaren, but he's not going as a race engineer, he's going to take over as team principal in a more senior role eventually to team principal. So he wouldn't be Max's race engineer, but Max obviously has a really good relationship with him. Okay, this year McLaren don't have a great car, but they've proven that they can build a great car in the past. Like last year, they were so dominant, right? They won the Constructors' Championship months ahead of the season finishing. If he's unhappy where he is, I can see the appeal for Max potentially going to McLaren, but Oscar going to Red Bull, what's the appeal there?
For me, that's a huge gamble. I'm not 100% convinced that Lawrence Mackey, as great as he seems to be in as a person, is able to create a winning Formula One championship winning team car. I think it would be a huge risk for Oscar. However, that said, would he be treated better? Would he be viewed as a kind of like, oh, you're... How many races has Oscar won? 8 or 9 races? Like, wouldn't he be viewed as somebody coming in with a lot of experience? They've only got Hajar, who's like, what, in his second year? You know, there's a huge gulf of Oscar's only in his fourth year, but having done so much in those 4 years, you know, even without a race winning car, he was winning their sprint, you know?
Yeah.
But so, yeah, so there is an opportunity possibly for him if he trusts himself and then trusts the team behind Red Bull. But there is a part of me that thinks, and maybe this is really naive and I would love to know what our listeners think, but because Lando won the first championship, that maybe when they have a car and if Oscar can show he's on form again, that they might prioritize him so that they're equal. They won one each. Now, this is me being like a child's view of the world.
I've had that same thought with McLaren. I always thought, no matter what happened last year, I always believed that they would not let Lando win. Lando is their driver. Lando's the one they've invested in for 7-8 years. Lando is the McLaren golden boy. He is. And with Oscar doing so well, that was a real threat to Lando's chance of winning the championship. You know, that's my mentality. That was my thinking, which is why I suppose I was also so suspicious of every single thing that the team did, because I'm like, they just want Lando to win. I can already imagine Zach Brown saying to Lando, don't worry, mate, we'll make sure you win this one. You know what I mean? Like, I can see that, you know, the sort of fatherly figure putting his hand on his shoulder saying to Lando, don't worry, you know, we'll make sure you win this one. But even though I'm just making this up, but this is what's in my head, right? Of how things happened last year. Oh. And then, you know, Oscar had wobbly bit after the Monza call and, yeah, things played out the way they played out.
Yeah. Mm. But it's so interesting because, like, you know, it's been since Lewis did his jump from Mercedes to Ferrari, it's been kind of quiet in the sense of, like, that whole year. Obviously, that was only 2 years ago. But we haven't had a crazy, silly... We have a lot of rumours now, but we haven't had a crazy, silly season. So, like, in a way, I kind of want Max to make a jump and see... I'd love to see the guys in different news. I mean, I've only ever experienced Max in Red Bull, and I would just be curious to see how he would fare in another team, because... Mm-hmm. Another team brings different rules, brings different environments, different customs, different everything. But actually, sorry, just while I'm saying that, what about the rumor that Max is going to go to Mercedes? What do you think about that?
Well, that rumor's been floating around since last year, right? It was going to be George that was going to get out of Mercedes. Max and George cannot be teammates. That is one thing we know for sure, right? They would not play nice. I feel like there's more heat on the McLaren rumour at the moment than there is on the Mercedes rumour with Max. That's gone a bit quiet, and probably because him is getting results now. George is also getting results now. They've got the dominant car. You know, is Toto Wolff going to put up with Jos Verstappen and Max's tantrums, for want of a better word, when he's got two drivers that are getting results, that are dominating the championship? I wouldn't.
But I would, like, okay, this is terrible to say as somebody who has never been in a Formula One car, has never go-karted, has never taken that risk, you know. So I have no skill. I have no ability. But
you are allowed opinions. You're allowed opinions. That's, you know, why we're here.
I've got lots of them. If I was Toto Wolff and I was looking at the driver market and I said, I had the young talents of Kimi Antonelli, who is on his way to winning his first world championship, and I have George Russell, there was a potential of Max Verstappen, I would be like, George, love you, but see you later. You know, I would be bringing in Max. Now, it again is a complication, because if Antonelli wins the championship, then, you know, maybe you're better off to have a not so competitive second driver. Like, not that George is not competitive, he's still getting results. But, you know, if I was really greedy, I would want both of them. How it would work, I don't know. But I just think I would choose Max over George. Yeah. Definitely.
Like, outside of the race car, I think Max is, you know, a really fun person. I've seen some clips with him and his daughters, and he just looks like, you know, a really fun and loving person. But his dad, we know, I've spoken about yours, and in the car, Max is so aggressive, like so aggressive. As a team, if you've got harmony and you're getting results, why would you mess with that? Yes, a guy who's talented, but if you've already got two talented drivers and a winning car, you know, okay, he's driving beyond what the Red Bull car is offering results-wise. Yes, granted, but yeah. I don't know.
Max is so talented, and I think he'd come in and change any team. Do you know the one thing I will say? I have to say, I'm a little disappointed that he isn't digging in deep in Red Bull. And if he does leave, I have to say, I would be a little bit, even though I'd love to, as I just said, I'd love to see him in a different team, see what kind of magic and chaos he could create there. But I'm a little disappointed that he's not going, you know what, I'm going to dig in deep here and I'm going to solve this problem with this team and I'm going to get us back to winning ways. Now, however, if what the rumors are and what he's been saying, and we've done a kind of a lot of articles, are, is that he is suggesting things and they're ignoring him, that's different then, because then that's like, well, what am I, what's the point of me here if you're not even going to listen to what my opinion, whatever else. But like, I've seen Max where he's losing and he's so annoyed. Use that to funnel into this team that are trying to work hard, figure it out, you know what I mean? Look, again, I'm speculating here. I'm not in those meetings. I don't know how far he's trying to push to make things, to get things back. And maybe he has, hearing that he hasn't been listened to does sound disappointing as well, because you're kind of like, come on, this is the four-time world champion. You should be hearing him. And maybe it's just done. Maybe it's just, you know, whatever happens, wherever he moves, maybe it is just time, you know? But I think you're right, though. I think the idea of harmony is really important. And I think someone like Toto Wolff is not a moron, and he's going to be like, well, I have two drivers who are winning. Okay, let's see what happens later in the year. But why would I change that? They're both able to handle this car. They're both able to get results. Whereas you look at McLaren and you're like, if Oscar really is unhappy and we can't do anything to appease that, then yeah, maybe we should switch it up here.
We're just going to be waiting on the sidelines watching with some popcorn and just, you know, see what happens. Another rumor that I've heard that I mentioned briefly last week, Christian Horner. I've seen somewhere that MBS from the FIA has come out and said Christian Horner will be back in Formula One. I can't say in what role or capacity, but he'll be back. So it sounded like the way he said it sounded like he already knows what's happening. Imagine if he got offered a role in the FIA. That could happen.
God, I think he'd be happy with the role in the FIA, though. I feel like he needs to be in the glory of it all. He needs to be in there on the ground, on the teams, winning races, you know.
I think it's more power.
Well, true. Maybe it comes more down to power with him. But I think there's massive vanity with Christian Horner as well. I could totally see him joining a team that isn't doing well. I think that would have been Aston Martin if it wasn't for Adrian Newey. Maybe it still will be. But going in there, shaking it up, and then making that team a winning team and showing, hey, everybody, look, you know, like, I wasn't just a fluke. I am, you know, you needed me kind of thing. Yeah. I just don't see him in the FIA. I mean, I think, yeah, power is power, you know, at the end of the day, that's what these men love. But like, yeah, I don't know. But I think it's inevitable. He's coming back.
Yeah. Well, he's been linked to Aston Martin, as you said, Alpine. You know, put together a consortium to buy that 24% share that is up for sale at the moment. He's also been linked to Ferrari, which feels wrong on every single cellular level, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. So that's what, again, we'll just have to wait and see. So, but expect to see more of Christian Horner around the paddock will be my tip.
Yeah, just unfortunately, just about the 24%, though. I don't know if it's still up for sale, though, because I think when they were doing really badly, those celebrities were like, let's get out of this. But now that they're actually getting some results and, you know, getting points, I don't know. I was asking Simone about this and he was saying, I don't think they're still looking to sell it. So maybe that's the reason why Christian Horner didn't get to buy that 24%.
But, you know, it. I think everything's for sale at the right price, especially when yeah. if Flavia Briatore's got anything to do with it, you know. Also, BYD, the electric car maker, has that rumour was swirling around a while ago that they were looking at buying that 24% and entering Formula One, which is, again, strange combination. But we've got Gucci linked to the Alpine team as well, which is not a rumour, fact. And they'll be, yeah, the car will be...
Gucci-fied.
Yeah, Gucci-fied, exactly. I'm kind of excited to see that. And I expect there might even be some fashion wars in the paddock. You know, Gucci apparently at the British Grand Prix and at Monaco as well, dressed a whole bunch of celebrities like Kim Kardashian was head to toe in Gucci all weekend. And you've got Louis Vuitton, the other mega fashion house, as title sponsor, major sponsor of the Formula One Championship. So I expect there might be some fashion wars in the paddock. I'm here for it. Yeah, bring it on.
Could you imagine Briatore and Christian Horner on the same team? I don't think I could. Would that not be like huge sparks? How would that work?
I think Briatore would have to go. I mean, how he's even there in the first place is... I know that decision got overturned about Crashgate, whatever, but...
You got to say the man's getting results. Gasly's been in the top 10. How many times this year? Even Colin Pinto. You know what I mean? You know, they're getting points and he's doing something right. So in my head, again, why would you get rid of Briatore to bring in Christian Horner? The reason why I think Christian Horner was associated with Ferrari was because Ferrari really weren't doing well. But now that they're getting results and whatever work that Fred did in 2025 to make the car for 2026 is starting to show dividends. So it's like, well, why would you get rid of it? Going back to the Harmony thing, you know? I mean, I know Formula One is crazy. And this is what I'm saying earlier. Like, we haven't seen any crazy moves since Lewis announced that he was leaving Mercedes. So I'm like, maybe I'm just delusional now that crazy doesn't happen, you know?
Yeah.
Someone's going to do something crazy. Go on.
Yeah, but I mean, Flavio rules with an iron fist and he rules with fear. So if you're not performing, if you're not doing well, you're out. And there's almost no second chances with him. That's the way he operates, you know, and he said as much on, was it Drive to Survive or some show I was watching. So, is there harmony with Alpine with him there? I don't know. But yes, I'll agree. They are getting results. So that's one thing. Another driver, maybe silly season rumour, is Yuki Tsunoda. So he's been linked potentially to Haas. So Haas have got Toyota partnership. So to have a Japanese driver makes sense, right? Esteban Ocon is under huge pressure. He's just been outperformed by his teammate Ollie Bearman all season. So I think Ocon might be on the way out and Tsunoda on the way in, especially if Tsunoda's coming with a check. And apparently he does have funding behind him. That's what I've heard.
Money definitely talks.
Yes, that's right. Money does talk. Fun fact. This is thanks to a fellow Australian podcaster, the Second Seat podcast, Josh, if you're watching, hello. So he posted a clip from his podcast a week or so ago about Oscar and how whenever Oscar has a special helmet for a race, he never does well. They've got the stats on that. So since 2023, since Oscar entered Formula One, he's done 14 races with special helmets. Of those 14 races, he's had one DNF, one disqualification, two races of no points, six races where he's been in P4 or lower, and three podiums, but never won a race with a special helmet. So there's the theory that Oscar's special helmets are cursed, that he should not race with special helmets.
I love it.
Well, that was a fun fact.
Yeah.
The other rumor is Bahrain. So Bahrain... it's been said that it'll be slotted on the weekend between Baku, Azerbaijan, and Singapore. So that's the 2nd to 4th of October. So that rumor was circulating around a week and a half ago, I suppose. And then in the last 2 days, yeah, the Middle East war has hotted up again. If that happens, then there'll be no race in Bahrain. And in fact, Dubai and Abu Dhabi could also be cancelled as a result of the war in that part of the world.
I think they really need to start looking at alternatives. I think they need to use the summer break to start really checking in with those alternatives like Turkey and Portugal that they were speaking of at the start of the year. Because I think it's very likely, unfortunately, that this war is still going to be going on and then we're going to lose two races. So, yeah, I think they're just going to have to make a call sooner or later. But if they want to swap it out and not lose another two races, they've got to make a call.
Yeah, well, apparently Stefano Domenicali, the head of Formula One management, has come out and said that a decision will be made before the summer break. So after Hungary, before the summer break. So yeah, we should know late this month what's happening, yeah, with the rest of the races this year.
I mean, if they're changing it, then we'll know before the summer break. If they're going, oh, we're going to keep the races, you can't make that decision now because if the war is on and they're bombing each other, you can't have the races. So it must be they're going to decide whether they're going to risk it or not, whether they're going to cut the races. And
yeah, I can't see things settling down. I mean, things felt like they'd settled down a little bit. It has felt like, you know, that the tensions in the Middle East are simmering down, but no, they're not.
You know, this war could go on. I mean, not to get too political, but like, Trump has come out and said some stuff about the Iranians that is just really, my jaw was on the floor that a leader of another country could actually speak that way about other people in public. You know, whatever you say in private, okay, obviously, you know, we don't know. I don't see any abating on this. I think the Iranians have a lot of control, the Strait of Hormuz, as you mentioned.
The only other potential silly season rotating seat could be Alonso. So he's close to retirement age. He's a dad now. He's got a little baby waiting for him at home whenever, you know, he's not racing. You know, that would change things. I mean, it hasn't changed anything for Max. I thought it might change Max Verstappen's way that he approaches racing now that he's got a baby girl, but I feel like it hasn't at all, hasn't affected him at all. I've said before in the past that when Max gets behind the wheel, the difference between him and other drivers is that Max isn't scared to die. He will just take the risk. He will just find the gap and he doesn't care. Like, he's very, very aggressive the way he drives. And I thought that might change when he had a baby, but it hasn't. Alonso is a lot older, of course, than Max, and he's got a little baby. So, you know, if he's in a team and not getting results, and you're forever starting the grid on 19th, 18th, finishing two laps behind the rest of the field, if you finish at all. No Formula One driver wants to be in that position. No driver, no racing car driver wants to be in that position at the back of the field. So if he goes, I don't know who they would get to replace Alonso.
Well, they have people in there, they have guys in their academy. So, you know, there's definitely young guys in the Aston Martin Academy that would be coming up. So it wouldn't necessarily be someone on the grid necessarily. I mean, the thing is, I have to say, like, Aston Martin, we haven't really talked about them in general, but like,
they're always lost.
Yeah, but they're one of the biggest surprises of a disappointment for me, because like, they've got Adrian Newey. Like, I remember when Adrian Newey, when we all knew he was even leaving Red Bull, it was like, oh my God, Ferrari, you got to get him. And now I'm kind of like, God, I'm glad Ferrari didn't get him. Now, I know it's not all his fault and it's a lot to do with Honda. I don't think they have their engine with Honda. But yeah, wow. Like, it's kind of wild to me how difficult they have found this new generation of cars. And I was reading something yesterday about them saying, like, now the cost cap is a real issue for them. You know, if their cars are crashing, which they are pretty much crashing or breaking every week, they're dealing with that. That's a massive cost. And then they're trying to develop the car. And so they're really battling with both of those every weekend, you know. Yes. For me, I think as another driver on the grid, I'm not going to Aston Martin, not this year anyway, you know. And can you be convinced that 2027 is going to be much better? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, also Adrian Newey is TP at the moment, isn't he? And I read an interview or saw a podcast that Christian Horner did a long time ago about Adrian Newey, and he's like, I just leave Adrian to do what Adrian does best, and that is designing race cars. He's not a manager. He's not a people person, you know, and so to be in that team principal role, if he's been pulled away from doing the design of the race car, if you're doing TP duties, yeah, I know that they were looking to replace him, get a new team principal in, but, yeah, nothing that we know of has happened in that regard yet. But you're right. You know, Assamant, with their resources that they've got, I mean, imagine Alpine if they had the resources of Aston Martin. You know what I mean? They would be podiums every single race.
Yeah,
you're right. They are a major disappointment, which is a shame because I would love nothing more than to see old boy Alonso on the podium and scoring, you know, just scoring points and getting great results at the tail end of his career. He can't leave Formula One like this. Like, yeah, he can't leave.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's what happens though, right? Because Michael Schumacher at the end of his career, didn't he come back and wasn't even really not doing very well? And I think the history just writes those years off. Oh, they didn't happen. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because like Alonso is not going to be remembered, I hope not, for the crappy time he's had Aston Martin. He's going to be remembered for the glory days and the championships he's won and the races and the battles and all the good stuff, you know? And hopefully he's going to go on and do, he's talked about this, right? That he's going to go on and actually work with Aston Martin. So I know there's been rumors about him and Alpine, but I think he's going to stay with Aston Martin, work behind the scenes and become involved in that. He's got more to give with racing. And he also wants to race another series. He's talked about Dakar. He's like, you know, so there's other stuff he wants to do. And with Max, apparently, as well. So there's loads of exciting stuff in his future.
Do you want to talk about F1 Academy?
I'd love to.
So, oh my, I forgot her name. Wild card.
Chiara Battig.
So she was the wild card at the British Grand Prix, right? At the F1 Academy race that was held at the British Grand Prix. And she's from?
Switzerland.
Switzerland. Driver from Switzerland who was a wild card entry into F1 Academy. The car on pole position, right? Pole position, wild card. And then finished second on the podium. But amazing. She did so well. She is, my God, born in 2010. Born in 2010, she's 16 years old.
Yeah, she's one to watch. I'm very excited about her. I've been posting a lot about her recently, like some crazy fan. Yeah, she's amazing. She's really, was very exciting to watch. I think if she had been part of this season, Alicia Palmowski, who's leading the championship, would have been very scared because, you know, she clearly can get results. It was her first time in an F1 Academy car. She drives actually regularly in F4, British F4. I think she might drive in another series as well, but she's really been making waves. Yeah, it was really impressive. She came in, she topped free practice, then she got pole in the reverse grid. She started ninth and she finished, I think, seventh. So she got some points. And then in the main feature race, she started first and finished second. So Palmowski led the race. And I think it was a lot to do with her own experience at the start. Both races, she wasn't great starting. Really exciting. This is the importance of F1 Academy, in my opinion. Like, I get people saying, oh, you know, it's you know, people giving out about it. Like, Catherine Legg drives in, oh, she drives in a few of the series, was saying, you know, it's not really beneficial for the women. I do agree that there's a big gulf between, like, a lot of the girls can't go from, none of them go from F1 Academy into F3, you know, and it's supposed to be a feeder series. They go back to F4, which, in my opinion, really, they should be driving in similar F4 cars and they should be going to F3. Like, that's really what it should be, so that they can get themselves to F1. But it does highlight these young talent. It does give them a spotlight, which they don't get in F4, you know what I mean? Because it's not really...
They don't get it race? In any other series. They don't get it anywhere. So,
yeah,
you know, unless you're driving Le Mans, and normally you wouldn't be driving Le Mans unless you've had results somewhere, like, you know, Dorian Pont.
Yeah,
know,
which, exactly.
And I think that's, you're right, like F1 Academy is an awesome platform for female racers, you know, to raise their profile, to get experience on the big stage, to get experience racing in front of crowds like Silverstone, which broke every single record in Formula One history as far as crowd numbers go. I think it was 564,000 people through the gates on race weekend. Over 500,000 people. It's insane. But what is lacking And I hope that Susie Walfall or somebody else is working on this, is a pathway from Formula One Academy to, exactly like you said, to F3, even if they go back to F4, like that there's a pathway for them to go on to F3, F2, F1.
Yeah, 100%. Like, yeah, I'm not fully sure what the pathways are at the moment for them. So I know that Abby Pulling, who dominated her second season in F1 Academy and was winning all the races and it was amazing.
Oh my God, her birthday is the same date as Chiara Battig. They're both born on the 21st of March. And is Ayrton Senna. It's also a family member's birthday. That date. So that's why it's on my radar. Yeah.
Okay.
21st of March, 1960, Ayrton Senna.
There you go.
21st of March, 2003, Abby Pulling.
There you go.
21st of March, 2010 is Chiara Battig.
There you go. Wow. Look like that.
So back to, Abby Pulling. Yes. So she just got an awesome result this year.
Yeah, so she won a GB3 race, and I believe she's the first woman to win a GB3 race. So she is, right? So she is making headway and waves and headlines, you know, but it does feel slow. It does feel like when these women finish in F1 Academy, they're kind of dispersed. They go to all these different championships, and it's not clear, in my eyes anyway, how they're getting F3 to F2. And there was a woman in, I believe she drove an F3, Sophia Flourish, and she's amazing, but she wasn't getting the results and so got cut from it.
Okay. There's something else that happened this week as well. There was a woman driving a Formula One car for Alpine this week.
Oh, yeah. No.
Did you see that?
I did see that.
Nina Gedeman,
yeah.
Nina Gedeman, I don't know where she's from.
She's Dutch.
Yep. She drove the Alpine Formula One car this week, the E20 F1 car at an airfield. So that's great. That was the V8 powered F1 car. It's a different car to the modern era that we're seeing drivers race in this championship. But fantastic to have another female racing car driver testing driving a Formula One car. I agree with you. It is really slow, but I feel like this is such a monumental change in motorsport. It's going to be slow and there's going to be some resistance, you know, because of course, if you let women become, you know, racing car drivers, Formula One drivers, then, you know, that's double the competition for everybody else that wants to get into Formula One, right? So, you know, and then I did hear Susie Wolf say in an interview not very long ago, someone said, why hasn't there been a woman driving in Formula One? And she's saying, well, the talent pool is not there at the moment, which is why F1 Academy exists. We know how much the F1 drivers go through. You know, they start karting when they're 3, 4, 5 years old, and then racing becomes their life. You know, Oscar Piastri moves to Europe as a 14-year-old by himself, goes to boarding school so he can keep racing. Liam Lawson's parents sold the family home so he could continue racing. You know, it's just massive, massive sacrifices, massive amounts of money, and it's all consuming. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're potentially seeing a generation that's going to give us the first female Formula One driver, but it can't come quick enough. That'll be a day, won't it?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And I do. I feel like that too. And that's why I was so excited about Chiara. But even at 16, it might be too late for her. You know what I mean? Like, so it may not be her, but what will be exciting is the Abby Pullings, the Chiara, the Alicias, the Dorian Pan, you know, these young women are breaking the ground for the women coming behind them. So if it's not one of those women, it will be someone behind them very soon. But I think we just have to keep pushing, keep talking about it, you know?
Yeah, that's
keep
right.
Keep demanding more.
That's right. It's fabulous. Well, I don't have anything else on my little rumor list. Have we covered everything?
I think so.
Fabulous. Well, I think that's it for this week, Kira. We've covered quite a lot of rumors and silly season goings on. You know, the big one to watch is the F1 calendar. So let's see how that plays out in the next couple of weeks, especially with war in the Middle East kicking off again. thank you everybody for listening. Hello, if you're watching on YouTube, thanks for your messages, your comments. We read them all and we really enjoy hearing from you guys. I mean, when do you think we'll see the first F1 driver in Formula One? And what's your opinion on Oscar maybe being rumoured to go to Red Bull or Max rumoured to go to McLaren? Yeah, we'd love to hear your thoughts. And you can find us on all the social media apps and you could drop us a line, hello@awaywegopodcast.com. Awesome. All right. Well, thank you very much, Kira, for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be back next week after Spa. That's a driver's favourite. Well, it normally rains, doesn't it, at Belgium? Let's just see what kind of race we get delivered. But yeah, we'll be back next week after Spa. Until next week, and until lights out.
Are you ready? It's lights out and away we go.
Away We Go podcast is produced by Diane Bortoletto.